on Sunday morning at kind of 10:30 or 11 o'clock, it might have been the local ABC in the Bega Valley, who I follow on Facebook, had a warning up suggesting that fires had started in the community of Tarraganda, just outside of Bega. And that, of course, makes you go, that's on the Tathra side of Bega. That means that it's potentially only 20 minutes drive, perhaps 10 minutes as the crow flies across the hill into Tathra from where that fire is. But there'd been fires in that, you know, in those places previously, and it hadn't had an effect on us.
All right. Well, before we get into the horror of what actually happened, knowing where you live and knowing the width of the Bega River at that point, what would have been the expectation of the fire jumping that river and coming down the corridor near your home?
I think, honestly, if we've learnt anything over recent years with bushfire events around Australia, it's that ember attacks are always a threat, even in that scenario. The Bega River at that point isn't as wide as the Manning might be.
Okay.
At a similar location, you're talking where it jumped, you're talking only a matter of a few hundred metres up the river from the mouth, so it's in the main estuary of the river, but it's still not as wide as what the estuary would look like on any one of those couple of mouths of the Manning River are out on the coast here.
Right.
So it's always a possibility that the fire's going to jump, okay? It's come out of dense bush and jumped into, what I guess it's jumped into grass on the other side of the river, and hit from there a community that's called the Tathra River Estate, which is an allotment just behind Tathra. Happens to be on the top of the hill, which meant that where it hit there, it was then able to quickly run downhill towards the beach. And the edge of Tathra in that site backs onto bush all the way around. Tathra is one of those towns that is surrounded, essentially, by national parks and state forest, dense forest. So, you know, there's always a threat that it's going to come that way.
Yeah.
And it took out the houses around the edge of town just off the bush. But then the real surprise for us was that it has also somehow, I guess again by ember attacks, the fire has landed on the headland of Tathra behind the pub and run in the tea tree forest south down the coast towards Marimbula, and in the wake of that has taken out our house a couple of doors down the road from the IGA in that stretch between us. So behind our house on Bay Street there's 100 metres of tea tree forest, and then a rock cliff face and the ocean, and it's got into that tea tree. And we've always said as a family, if fire manages to get into that tea tree,
get
our house is in trouble. But it, again, you've got the ocean on one side of it, you've got the headland, which is a grass rocky outcrop with the wharf on it on another side, and then you've got houses to the south of it. So the chances of it getting in there and not getting stopped before it hit us, we felt, were pretty slim.
Yeah.
Our block is, my family's block, is a half-acre block, which has got, 35 years of life on it. So it's got mature fruit trees. It's got, or it had, mature fruit trees. It had a range of different native trees, fully grown native trees around the perimeter. So for the fire to hit that tea tree, which is just an explosion, of course, then it would be quite easy for it to have then jumped into our yard and would probably take our yard first because it's the most populated by bush and stuff like that, okay? Because it's a big block with a lot of trees and stuff on it. And the house itself was a double-story weatherboard all hardwood, no brick, no nothing. So when it got to it, the place was gone. We knew that. The A-frame studio in the backyard that was my mum's weaving studio is still standing. The veggie garden's still there, from what I can see of the photos. But the other sheds and the house, the photos I've seen of the house are a pile of ash with an old brick chimney, and that's all that's left.
Okay, so if you can just wind the clock back to Monday morning, 7 o'clock, television, you turned it on, you were worried about the state of the house in that area of Tathra, and you have your mother staying with you from Tathra just at the moment.
Yeah.
Can you describe for us just how you felt when you turned the news on?
Well, let's go back further than that, in fact. Let's go back to 1:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Mum and I are aware that it's like 36 degrees around here and decided that we wanted to try and find something to do to keep us cool. So at that point, we went up to Laurieton, do a little bit of tourist stuff, show Mum around. You know, I've been in town for 12 months and haven't done a great deal of adventuring myself, so yeah. Have a look around. And I'm sure that many of you in the community are aware that there's a fantastic little cinema in Laurieton that has two movies for $12 on a Sunday afternoon. So you're like, hey, well, there's a good way to kill a couple of hours and keep cool.
Mm.
We went into the movies that afternoon at 1:45 and came out at 6 o'clock. And when we walked out at 6 o'clock and turned our phones just went nuts. And amongst the messages was a message from our neighbour, Graham, asking Mum to call him. And when she called, we were told at that point, at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, the house is gone. Now, you know, like I say, that morning I'd seen an indication that there was bushfire southeast of Bega. But that, to me, didn't say there's fire in Tathra.
No.
There was no indication for us that we were under real threat.
How far is Tathra from Bega?
Same sort of situation as Taree to Old Bar.
Okay.
Almost exactly. It's 18 k's southeast of Bega. Okay.
Okay.
So, as I said, this fire has just run out of this community of Tarraganda straight over the hill into the bush to the north of the Bega River, and then jumped the Bega River into the community of Tathra. So we knew by Sunday night that our place was gone. I woke up on Monday morning to find a message from my cousin who had managed to capture a photo of her television screen showing Channel 7 News, and the Channel 7 News team had an aerial shot of our block on the screen at that point. So I then had a photo that showed me that, yeah, right, it really is completely gone. It's not like it's just a bit damaged. There's nothing there at all. I guess that's the other difference between some of the other houses that have been destroyed and ours, is that other houses that have been destroyed, I can see frames hanging with nothing in them. I can see tin floating around. I can see brick pillars that are still standing. Our place is literally a pile of ash and a brick chimney. There's nothing left. It's gone.
So your personal history, your mother's personal history, your furniture, your inherited furniture, your identification.
Yeah, the whole
lot. Your identity.
And I guess that's the other thing, was like, we are very fortunate that Mum was here visiting me, my sister's in Melbourne, and my dad is currently visiting his sister in Vietnam, so there was no one there that was under threat. But there's a couple of things to be said for that. One is that knowing my father, he would have stayed probably and fought, and probably with enough warning would have had it set up well enough that we probably would have won the fight and we would have kept the house. But also, we weren't there to receive the warnings that we were in danger and therefore grab any, you know, grab bags that we might have organised for fire threat that would have passports, blah, all that stuff that we have that's that's significant. So, yes, we've walked out with nothing.
So this means you've got to go back and you've got to reapply for passports, driver's licences, all sorts of identification, go to the university and get a copy of your degree. And
Right. Yeah, the whole lot. Yeah. I mean, I was in Tathra visiting my family a month ago.
Yeah.
And I had my degree in my hand and I asked myself, do I want to carry this rolled up tube back to Taree to my house or not?
Yeah.
I don't need to use it every day, so no. Yeah. It can stay amongst the other belongings that are in the house, and it'll just stay there. So that's gone. I, of course, living here in Taree, I've got my passport and my driver's license and all those things.
Okay.
Me personally are here. Yeah. A lot of my belongings are in my house, as you'd expect.
Mm.
But my mum, the passport's gone. Everything. All the bank details, all the receipts for tax, all that stuff that you might think, you know, we need, that's all gone. And more than that, the 35 years of history of the house, that's gone.
So do you feel an added sense of helplessness because you're here and not there through all of this?
To be honest with you, no.
Okay.
I feel relieved because I'm not as affected by it as I will be.
So the emotional impact would come out of physical sight of what was.
Look, I'm going to assume so.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that my mother and I, both sitting here in Taree, are in a state of shock. We don't quite know what to think of any of it yet.
Yeah.
I know that when I'm standing out the front of the block looking at this, you know, destroyed space, it'll really hit home.
Yeah.
And I've decided, and my sister and I have decided that we will travel back to Tathra at the end of this week. We can't get into Tathra yet. Tathra is still blocked off for risks of asbestos, fallen electrical cables, all that sort of stuff. Mm. The emergency services are working really hard to get all that stuff sorted out, but you can't get into town at the moment. We will go back on the weekend, and a lot of that is really to do with the fact that, as I said before, my dad's in Vietnam, and the last thing I want to do is see or hear of my mother, arriving on site on her own and having to work out how to go through that pain. I can't do that to her. So,
Is it a close community?
Yeah, sure. It's a community of 1,600 people.
So they'll pull together well.
So even if you don't have a close relationship with someone that's a local, you recognise everyone enough to smile in the street.
Mm.
I spent a number of years while I was doing my master's degree working in the pub to keep myself alive. So a lot of the long-term locals I know quite well. I serve them every day, you know.
So, look,
we have a good relationship and there's a lot of people in the community who are working together to try and do everything they can to help each other.
That's good.
And I've got to say, probably the most incredible thing about this whole experience for my family is the outpour of support from just general people in the community, people that we haven't seen for 30 years, people that used to live there and know what it's like, people who are old family friends of ours.
Mm.
Both my parents grew up in Melbourne and a lot of their family are in Melbourne and their whole families have associated this house in Tathra with all of their summer holidays, with all of their free time. And the house itself is known to have so much character through its design, through the people that are in it, through my family, that I think I've seen more pain and suffering from my friends and family who find out that it's lost than I've seen out of my mother and I.
Yes, yeah. Next step, you'll rebuild?
We're lucky that the place is insured.
Yes.
So, yes, we will rebuild something, I would imagine.
Mm.
What, we don't know.
Mm.
I think we're in a quite amazing space in that my sister's 33, I'm 35, and then there's my parents. And so as all being adults, mum's decided that we will work together to talk through as a family what we agree on should be built in that space.
Yes.
So I think that's a really special time to be in.
Yeah.
You know, what do we do next? Let's work it out together as a team and see if we can get something that we all agree on and something that's going to suit all of our needs.
Yeah. So out of this, I suppose for our listener is the fact that if you're in a situation where there is the slightest possibility of a catastrophe, make sure you're insured.
Yeah, the insurance is important, but I'd say also don't don't stay and fight if you, you know,
yeah.
if you're on your own. Like, the person who's been the most heavily affected by this whole thing is not me or my dad or the rest of my family.
Mm.
It's an old family friend who owns the house next door who stayed in town and tried as hard as he could to save our house.
So he has a sense of guilt, which is misplaced, obviously, but there's a sense of guilt because he couldn't, succeed.
He's damaged. He's ruined by it to the extent that he's told me yesterday that he's done with Tathra. He saved his house. His house wasn't insured, and he saved his house.
Yeah.
But he watched our house go down, which our house was the reason that he ended up buying the house next door. Here's someone from Melbourne who's known my family for long enough that they shared houses together when they were young.
Yes.
And he decided to come and buy the house next door when it came up for sale because he loved Tathra, because he'd be coming to our house for so long. So our house was the point of contact for him for why he would be in Tathra.
Yes.
And he watched that burn.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's ruined him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can only say how dreadfully sorry I am for what you've had to go through, and I know everyone else at the station feels the same way. It's all too real because so many of us in this area can relate so closely to your experience.
I've got to say that one of the biggest impacts on me at the moment, one of the things that's affected me more than the reality of losing the house, has been this slightly bizarre, in my eyes, decision by the National Parks to do controlled burns yesterday and today.
I could not believe that.
Like, for me to be standing outside the station here in Taree and smelling smoke, I'm going, that's what I'm going home to, you know? Like, are you trying to prepare me for the reality of it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, it just spins me out. Like, you know, there's parts of this state that have just been destroyed, lives that have been ruined, you know, and I'm not saying our lives have been ruined, our lives have been changed, but like you say, we were lucky enough that our place is insured. I'm sure there are plenty of families in Tathra today reeling at the reality that they didn't have their house insured, and what are they going to do next?
Well, it's a terrible struggle to pay insurance bills. I mean, nothing's cheap, and that certainly isn't cheap, so you can understand that. I don't know what they'll do next. I remember at Terry Hills several years ago, we had a bushfire and I ran into a family who lost their home there, and they were uninsured.
Mm.
But they had come down from Queensland where they'd lost a home and where they were uninsured. It happened twice to them.
Yeah, right.
Just terrible. But, you know, I mean, it's easy to criticise, but by the same token, if you don't have the money in your pocket to pay for this insurance, what do you do? I don't know what you do.
No, I don't know either.
Yeah. And if you build again, can you see... Is there anything that you can do to make things, you know, minimise the risk a little more?
Sure. Yeah, there's an opportunity here for us to learn from it as far as we will build something that's potentially either mud brick or stone or something like that.
Yeah.
We will build something, like, you know, my dad's an electrician. He's spent a lot of time on building sites. What we did in building the house that we had was we built something that suited our needs but was as cheap as possible to build because we were really not wealthy people.
Yep.
Now, technology, skills, knowledge of manufacturing has grown so much since that point in the late 80s, early 90s that we can look at television programs like Grand Designs, for example, and look at the amazing things that people can do with small amounts of money.
That's true.
And perhaps we can build something that's very sustainable and very sensible and works perfectly within the space of that block that we have.
Mm.
We may well come out with something that is so much better than what we've had. You know, my dad said to me yesterday that the reality is that if we had thought about trying to sell that house that we had, we'd had it evaluated 2 weeks ago, and they'd put a price on it of roughly $850,000 for the half-acre block and the house.
Okay.
But some of the struts that hold the thing up were starting to rust and fall apart.
Mm.
The building was getting to the point where it was going to need a lot of work to be saleable for what we thought we needed for the sale.
Mm.
So perhaps there are some elements of a blessing in disguise here.
Mm, mm.
As far as the house itself, you know, it doesn't change the fact that what was in the house is gone, and that's really, really hard.
Yeah. Very difficult. I know when you said it was built out of hardwood, I thought, oh, my God, you know, because building a home out of hardwood these days is a very expensive proposition.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But as you say, there are new building methods, and this is the does provide the opportunity.
And don't get me wrong, what we built was all built out of secondhand materials.
Okay.
You know, like we were doing everything as cheap as we could.
Yes, but it was hardwood.
But it was hardwood.
Yeah.
Which means it burnt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, again, you know, I'm so sorry that this has happened to you, and let's hope for your parents that they can cope as well as you're obviously coping, because it's going to be a struggle for them.
Thanks for talking to me, Rich. Yeah.